certainly thank God for the privilege of being with you today in the ministry of His precious Word. Today is Father's Day. And this morning, just a few minutes before we came in this room, three of us gathered for prayer. And every one of us said, I was impressed by the words, Father. The disciples said to the Lord on one occasion, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is presented to us in the scriptures as a father. And it's a privilege to be a father of a family. And I saw some happy fathers this morning. And I saw a father whose wife just gave birth to a beautiful daughter. I think it was a daughter. At least there was pink there. And what a delight. What a delight to think that you have the privilege of bringing into the world that which will last forever. You know, you can't take your money with you when you leave. You can't take your house with you when you leave. You can't take any of the other gadgets that you gather when you leave, but you can't take your children. And fathers are commanded to bring up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And God has laid that burden upon fathers. The responsibility in the home is the father's responsibility. And to have a godly father is indeed a blessed portion that is ours in this life. I thank God that I had a godly father who continuously prayed for us, who read the scriptures to us, who was a high priest in the home, if I may use that expression, as Abraham was. God could say of Abraham, as two angels left, and Abraham still stood before the Lord, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do, seeing he will cause his children and speak to his children, teach his children after me. He's going to teach his children about me. So I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do. And he told him about something that was most important. He was going to destroy four cities. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboam were going to be destroyed by God. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do. And what did Abraham do? Abraham interceded for those in Sodom, in Gomorrah, in Admah, and Zeboam. And he said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? He'll do right in judgment. He'll do right under every situation. And what a delightful name and title is Father. And our Lord Jesus, who was ever submissive to his father. He said to his earthly mother, he said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Furthermore, when he prayed, he said, O righteous Father, O holy Father. With this in our minds, let us read together from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And then we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. The first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 1. And we read these words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." The words that we want to consider in particular are found in verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Now, turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4, we read these words, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And another translation has it like this: "Be ye imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. O God our Father, as we bow before thee, we thank you that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And out of the depths of our depravity, we heard the glorious message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And out of the depths of helplessness and hopelessness, we looked up, being enabled to look up by the Spirit of God, but we saw that mighty arm of thee, a gracious Father, reaching down in pity to deliver us from the pit of destruction. And O God our Father, we rejoice this morning in the mighty, merciful, gracious love of God. And we thank you for every father this morning. We especially thank you for each father who can call thee father because of a relationship in the family. And we thank you that that relationship is available to everyone who turns in repentance and faith to thee, the God of all grace. And we thank you that every father can be a good father as they walk in love and walk in light and walk circumspectly before thee. Thou art God. Thou art the Holy One of Israel. Thou hast revealed thyself to us as a father who pities his children, as a father who provides for his children, as a father who gives his children peace. And we thank you for it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion we have before us this morning in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it begins with the word, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." In other words, God is calling us to look. He's calling us to see his great love. God is calling us this morning to focus our mind's eye upon an aspect of the Father's love. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And since it's Father's Day today, I want to speak about the fatherly love of God. The Father loves us with gentleness. That's one of the characters of our great God. In the passage we read in Ephesians, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then he comes with the next verse, "Be ye therefore imitators," and I'm using the NIV, "be ye therefore imitators of God." Now, I can't imitate God and his attributes that are high and holy, his attribute of omniscience, of omnipresence, of omnipotence. I can't imitate him in that, but I can in love. And I want to talk about the fatherly love of God with a distinct message to fathers to love in the family. God loves his children, beloved, with compassion and with care. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." And it is through fathers who lead their family in devotion to God, in devotion in studying the Word of God, in devotion toward his wife. And when the children see the love of dad for mother, here they behold something of the love of God that God has for his children. Now, how does God pity his children? He pities his children by protecting them, caring for them in every way. This is how an earthly father provides for his children. This is how our heavenly Father provides for us. In the next verse in the 103rd Psalm, you know, verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children," the next verse says, verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." You know, we forget what God remembers. You see, God remembers that we are dust. We think we're cast iron, that nothing can happen to us. It always happens to other people, but never to us. But you see, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. But in relation to that, God knowing that we are dust, you talk about the care of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, in that he will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with a temptation provide a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Like as a father pitieth his children." And therefore, we who are fathers, we care and we pity, we provide. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4, and then again verses 5 through 7, speak in a mighty way concerning the Father's care for his people. And God's care for us is so great that we who are believers never need to worry. That's how great his care for us. When I was a child, I never needed to worry. I let all the worrying to my father. He cared for me. I knew he loved me. I knew that he provided. I knew he taught me the great stories of the Bible. He made me love the Word of God before I could ever read. This was a fatherly work that he provided for me. Now, the believer who knows God doesn't have to worry. You see, now the opposite of worry is the fret. What does worry really do to our Father? Do you realize that it is an insult when we worry? Really. When I worry, I'm really saying I don't believe that my Father cares. But my Father does care. It's saying to God, I don't trust you. But Matthew chapter 6 is the answer to care. Consider the lilies of the field, he says. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he also says, consider the fowls of the air. They don't do many of these things, but my Father provides for them. Our Lord is teaching us in Matthew chapter 6 that our Father cares. God says to us, my child, I care. Worry. On the other says, no, you don't. But friends, we know better. He cares for us. You see, worry is a sign of our independence of God. Prayer, on the other hand, is a sign of our dependence upon Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, He instructs the church, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Our Father is gracious. His ear is opened to our cry. He's moved by our petitions. He will care for us. Now, we don't need any special liturgy when we come into the presence of God. We don't have time to say prayers when we come into the presence of God, but we do have time to pray. There's a big difference between saying prayers and praying. Remember Peter? When he said, when the Lord came walking on the water in the midst of a tremendous storm, the wind and the waves were contrary. He said, Lord, if that's you, permit me to come. And the Lord says, come. And Peter was walking on the water, and then he looked around and he saw the sea, and he began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. Now, Peter had time to pray, but he didn't have time to say prayers. He said, Lord, save me. He prayed. And you know, there's a day that I did that. There's a day that I realized I was lost. I was without hope. I was without God. And in that desperate condition, I said, Lord, save me. You know what? There's not a sinner who's ever prayed that prayer who has turned away from the gates of heaven. I mean praying in sincerity, realizing your lost condition and you cannot be saved apart from the person of Christ. I drop in and have coffee when I'm out in the morning. And I stop at the same place, and I often have an opportunity to preach there. When I say that, they call me the preacher, but they usually have questions to try to trip me up. And that's easy to do, by the way. But anyway, this preacher, I almost told his denomination. It was on the tip of my tongue, but he's retired. And he said to me, a question was brought up in our Sunday school lesson. He said on Sunday, how would you answer it? If people don't believe the way we believe, are they going to go to heaven like us? I said to him, well, what does the scripture say? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And of course, he was speaking of the Jews who rejected Christ. And I said, if a Jew believes the gospel, he'll be saved like anybody else. But if he rejects Christ, he's lost. And he will be lost. There's only one way into the presence of God, and that's by the person of Christ. And this preacher said, boy, there's some things I just don't understand. I turned and I said, there are a lot of things I don't understand, but I believe them. I don't understand an automobile. But I'll tell you what, I drove one this morning. What I know about a car is you can take a key and put it in and turn it, and I expect that engine to start. Now, I don't understand how the valves work and how everything else works in the automobile, but that don't keep me from using it or believing it. And beloved, I don't understand the mystery of the gospel. I simply believe what the Word of God teaches. And believing, I have peace with God. Believing, I know the Father. And I can say on earth, our Father, who art in heaven, and I can be heard in the throne room of glory, because that way has been opened up. Peter didn't have time to say prayers, but he had time to pray. But then, my father, as I was growing up, he loved me that much that he never gave me everything I wanted. And my heavenly Father loves me that much that he doesn't give me everything I want either. You see, God doesn't give me what I want. He's my father. He's not my grandfather. He's my father. Matthew 7, verse 11, the Father gives us that which is good. And he said to his disciples, if you being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father will give good gifts to them that ask him. And I tell you, when it comes to the good gifts of our God, oh, the blessings that flow from the hand of our God. You see, God is too good to give me everything I want. Oh, you see, we read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye imitators of God. How can I do it? Well, Ephesians 4 says, at the last verse that we read from Ephesians 4, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And when I came to Christ, realizing that it is He who redeems men from destruction, when I came to Him and said, save me, the Father responded. The Father responded in cooperation with the Son, and I was received by the triune God. And beloved, everyone who knows God as Father is blessed indeed. Wouldn't it be wonderful, beloved, if we treated other believers in the way that God commands us here in Ephesians 4? Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How you treat a child depends on how much you respect their parents. And a Christian fella who goes out with a Christian girl, he better be very careful how he treats that girl, because her father is the creator of the universe. He's the one who holds the universe in his hands. He's the king. He's the king of glory. So we notice the fatherly love of God, and the Father loves us with gentleness. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But we want to move on, and we want to notice how the Father loves us with discipline. The Father loves us with discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, he chastens. Now, this is the very opposite of what a lot of psychologists would teach us today. But you see, a love is proven by discipline. And this is so important. The idea that's so prevalent today that when we experience trouble, is that the devil did it. Beloved, there's nothing ever entered into my life that didn't come through the fine sieve of the permissive will of God. There isn't anything. When we know that Satan was very active in his affliction of Job in the Old Testament, but we also need to remember he couldn't do a thing to Job until God gave him permission. And if Satan does anything in my life, if he's able to afflict me in one way or another, he could never touch me apart from the permissive will of God. And the permissive will of God is a fine sieve. The Father cares for us. Francis Havergill wrote, every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We can trust him fully, all for us to know. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Who the Lord loves, he cares for, he chastens. You see, in that same context in Hebrews chapter 12, we read, we had fathers of our flesh who chastened us betimes. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 is very important for fathers today. It says, he who spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I thank God for parents who were not afraid to use the rod. I had many character adjustments in my life, and I thank God for a father who believed in adjusting the character of his stubborn son, because it was important. It's ordered of God. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you had a dad who wasn't afraid to spank when it was necessary, I'll say this. My dad only knew half of it. If he would have known the other half, I would have gotten a lot more. A lot more. You see, God is a model for fatherly care. Yes. Why? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, that ye might be partakers of his glory. Why does God touch me out when I step off base? He wants me to be a partaker of his glory. Why did your dad spank? Why did he spank? He did it because he loved you. Whomsoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. When you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Why did he do it? Your father, your earthly father, did it in order that you would grow up to be a good, standing, useful citizen, and that you would be submissive in time to the God of all grace, who provides salvation for everyone who will turn in repentance and faith to Him. Now, this is very important. Dr. Barnhaus, years ago, told a story. It was in Eternity Magazine. I'll never forget it. About, we smile many times when children disobey. They're so cute, you know, when we say, do something, and they say, no, no, no. It may be cute, but it's dangerous. And he told a story of something that took place in the zoo in Philadelphia. Their grandparents had this little child. They were in the zoo, and the child, and they were going to visit the lion's cage. And this child ran ahead of them, and he said, come back. And she turned around, just smiled, just kept going her own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And as this little girl went astray, she didn't realize that she was backing into the lion's cage. And the lion put his paw through the cage, and that was the end of the girl. Children that are permitted to back away from their parents find it easy to back away from God. God gives children fathers. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We're to behold His fatherly love, and we behold His fatherly love. For whomsoever the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You see, I have a lot more I'd like to say, but I'm going to just apply this very quickly. Application number one. Loving parents know how to say no and not back down. Application number one. Are you able to say no and not back down? You see, crying doesn't make loving parents change their mind. They know better. Tough love, beloved, is not easy, but it's righteous. And the love of God, beloved, is a righteous love. That love which was manifested at the cross. God is just. God is just. And yet, He is the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Why? He didn't overlook my sin. He laid my sin on His Son. And Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And God remains just, yet He is a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Tough love is not easy, but it's righteous. And this is a true, beloved, imitation of the Father. Be ye imitators of God as dear children. But application number two, loving parents instruct their children. I remember when I was 5 years of age, as a family, we were sitting around a table. No need to give me a testament or a Bible, I couldn't read. And my mother had one, my father had one, my brother had one, my sister had one. And there they sat, reading the Holy Scriptures. And I thought, boy, another year. And I can read the Bible for myself. If going to school meant anything to me, it meant that I'll be able to read the Holy Scriptures for myself. I had a desire at 5 years of age to know what was written concerning our God. Loving parents instruct their children. Psalm 94 verse 12 tells us that God teaches us because He loves us. For Psalm 94, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." Coupled with chastening is teaching. I remember a young man in our assembly got out of hand, and his dad had to deal with it. And he was a teenager. He was about 17 years of age. And he said to me, he said, "The whipping isn't bad. It's the words. Because I hurt my dad." You see, the chastening hand of the Lord. Fathers, it's your privilege to be stern and loving and righteous and to be able to draw out of your children genuine love and care and respect. And you see, the wiser we become, the more we see the love and the instruction of our Heavenly Father. And the wiser our children become, the more they understand the goal that we had for them.